Blog Talk Radio.
I kind of wanted to talk more about how you sort of grapple with being a mixed identity. Like, you talked a lot about having to take a side. Did you feel that mostly just kind of a general societal type thing, or like specifically kind of like I don't know, talk more about that.
Yeah, I guess I know who I am, and my kids know who I am, and pretty much I don't think anybody else knows. Totally. Like, you know, because I think that some people like a certain part of me, and that's who they see me as, period. The artist. The professor, the activist, and a lot of that is also aligned with their perceptions of me as a person, racially. So I think that internally, my main struggle is in how to defend what I want to do and who I am to people, and also I think that I am very light-skinned. I think that there's a certain light-skinned privilege that I've noticed.
Yes, will they lean upon the Lord and say, is not the Lord among us?
Hey, the Lord was among you guys in the church the other day. The Lord of life, Satan was among you. And he killed you motherfuckers, man. I'm happy as hell. You ain't gonna never see me smile this much. Go ahead, man. Hey, that's right. I laugh at your calamities. Alright, I even told my mother the other day, you know when I see a nigga get shot out there in the street, you know I laugh. She just kind of looked at me, and I was like, woman, you know who the fuck I am. I ain't saying like that, I was like, come on, you know who I am. You know how I roll. She kind of shook her head and kind of had a little grin on her face. I said, man, I don't know what the fuck about these people out here. Get the hell out of here. And these people kiss my ass, man. Get the fuck out of here.
All right, y'all, welcome to Black Eye Stand Radio. This is your host, Jay Dizzle, along with Boogie DB. And today's show, GMS Dizzle Likes to Get the Check, Rachel Dolezal and Black Organizations Against Blacks. Before we start, I just want to say, make sure you go, if you're listening to live on the Blog Talk webpage, make sure you follow the show. From the show, you can also go to Facebook and you can friend me on Facebook and join the Black Eye Stand Nation group. You can follow on Twitter, and also you can go to the YouTube page. So on this show, we're going to focus on the Rachel Dolezal distraction, also the NAACP in general, and a couple other black organizations that, you know, are really for us, you can say. And we're also going to touch on some issues plaguing the black community and the GMSC group, Israelite group, will be checked. That's right, GMS, the government-made sissy, a.k.a. the government-made tambos, a.k.a. are going to get checked today. You know what I'm saying? And from that clip you just heard, you see why. All right. So we're going to get in the show. Let's put this off with a clip. Let's just set the tone. And let me say this before we get started. I want to make sure that people out there understand, because I don't bash religion on the show. We don't bash religion on the show. The organization does not do that. You know what I'm saying? But we do bash those who are obviously against us. And you can't argue with me and tell me that GMS Israelites are for us, not the GMS. The rest of the Israelite camps will not be touched. No matter if I agree with them on the whole, I do believe that they generally are sincere about how they feel and what they want to do for the black community. I can't say that about GMS. Then I'm lying. Check this out.
The righteous also should be and fed and should laugh at them.
We're going to laugh at these devils when we burn you up. But guess what? We laughed at them Texas charges up in South Carolina right now.
Guess what? When I hear about you practicing and preachers getting shot down, man, I rejoice. When I hear about you niggas getting shot down, I rejoice, man.
Right.
You gave up the Lord. You said, the hell with the Lord. I said, the hell with you too, damn it. None evil shall come upon us. No bad evil. Eve is time. Ill is bad. Eve is bad. Ill is
real boogie.
Yo.
I mean, you know what I'm saying? We just heard these little clips, man. I know we wanted to get into this racial doze off first, but I mean, I guess just whatever you want to say to greet the people, then let's just start off there and then we can get into the program.
Okay. Well, you know, first off, man, I would like to say that, you know, this tragedy that happened down in Charleston, no matter where you're at in your life, you're, you know, black man, black woman, you know, this is going to affect people, your own people, trying to clown and disrespect the lost one and whatnot. You know, that's, you can't have that, man. We just can't have it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt.
You know, I mean, it's just, you know, man, there's too much going on right now, man. We don't need to be inter-dividing ourselves when we're already divided. You know, we need to be coming together because this is, you know, when they killed those people, man, they killed a member of all of our families.
No doubt, no doubt. And that's why I will say this. I said it before. I said it on my Facebook page. I said it on the last show that, you know, it's one thing if you don't agree with the tactic or the fact that they are at, you know, giving forgiveness to do. Agree with that either personally. But to show the vision, and especially the growth from their death, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That ain't cool. And it also ain't cool when you have, you know what I'm saying? I mean, like right now, I'm sitting here ready. Let them bury their dead, man. You know what I'm saying? I mean, they don't believe like some of us believe. And they want to get forgiveness from somebody who obviously doesn't deserve it. I understand the danger in that. Because now you're saying that any crazy coward like this can now look at an institution of worship or another institution that's mostly filled with women and feel like, yo, I can go and hit these cats and they're not going to do anything but just to get them.
Right, right. Wrong message, but we need to deal with that in our own huddle, you know, and
exactly.
Still, you know, all public. You know, white people doing have a clue, you know, white dude that you got down a job or something, boss, whatever you call it, with the club, 9 times out of 10, that white person, that's you, is not going to stick up for you. It's not going to publicly do it.
And I think a lot of that has to do with the fact that we're not properly educated on military science. You know what I mean? Like, it's ingrained in them. Even if their parents don't straight up tell them, like, yo, here's how you deal with facts, here's how you blah, 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 it's already ingrained subconsciously in them, and it's reinforced by educational institutions, media, and things of that nature. Just overall society reinforces that. You know what I'm saying? So we've been taught not to handle our inner conflict in a proper form because we've been really lit. And I think you went into some of that. I think you got some information. But let's do like this. So let's start off with the Rachel Dolezal. You heard the little clip, you know what I'm saying? I know you had a point that you wanted to point out about the Rachel Dolezal and all that. So what's your take on the Rachel Dolezal, man?
Well, man, you know, I noticed you had like a couple clips that I have seen that we're going to be playing later on in the show. But what I noticed is before I even seen those clips, man, when this story first broke out, man, it was like another divide and conquer tactic, man. It was like a wedge trying to be put in front of the light skin, dark skin tone. You know, the propaganda, man, that they do.
You're just saying that because you like it.
Well, you know, man, but but you know what I'm saying? My soul is black just like the rest of everybody else, man.
Right, we all want, man.
And
you know I was clowning, but for anybody
else,
I'm going to put it like this on the light versus dark issue. There really shouldn't be a light versus dark issue because if you look through history and see that all, well, no matter what the tone, have helped our people, and no matter what the tone have shared in betraying our people if that was in their heart.
Oh,
you know what I'm saying? But that is a thing that is in our culture that, you know, some of us do participate in. So it's interesting in that clip, that intro clip, when she, you know, she did bring that up, and I don't know exactly what clip you're talking about, but I've seen other interviews with her where she did, you know what I'm saying, magnify that issue. You know what I'm saying? Because at first, when this news broke out, I was like, who cares? They're the NAACP. They still call themselves colored people in 2015.
Yeah.
So why should we take them serious?
Right.
But when I seen someone, so I was like, you know, maybe she is sincere. Maybe whatever, whatever. You know what I'm saying? Like, she wasn't a minister for the Nation of Islam. So, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
She was the president for the NAACP in Spokane, Washington. And we're in Washington.
Oh, and by the way, the pronunciation is Spokane, not Spokane. Okay. Just FYI out there, you non-Northwesterners.
Right, right. You know, all you, what they call it, Dolan? Dozalin?
Are you Dozalin out there?
Yeah, like, I mean, like, you know, like, I don't have any inside information on this chick, and Boogie don't either, but being in Washington, you have to understand, man, for anybody that's not from Washington State, okay, there's a special dynamic out here that's very unique to the rest of the country.
Very unique.
You know what I'm saying? Like, one thing you got to understand, first of all, we're, like, in the boonies. We're up here. If you get your map out, Google Map right now, the United States. Just Google that so you can see what I'm talking about. Because when you look at Seattle and you look at the proximity to the rest of the country, you know what I'm saying? If you were to go west from Seattle, it's going to be ocean. There ain't no other major cities around. If you go north, a few hours, you're going to be in Canada. No major black cities, you know what I'm saying, around. You ain't going to hit nothing until maybe, like, Gary, Indiana. So I made the drive from here to New York. You know what I'm saying? You go south, you're going to pass Portland, Oregon. You're going to pass Sacramento, but you're not really going to get to any populated places where there's us, really, until you get to Frisco. So we're in this crazy kind of atmosphere up here. And one of the things that's interesting is Rachel Dolezal is not unique out here. Out here, it's nothing. We got Dolezal-ing going on all the time.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? We got white boys.
Yeah, we see Rachels all the time.
Rachel's, like, in the building in every little community out here.
Converting.
You know what I mean? Rachel was the chick that, you know, I came front. I'm gonna give a little disclosure here. In the day, Rachel was the chick that, you know, she would have to take a loan out from the bank, you know what I'm saying, to put it in my pocket, you know what I'm saying? Real talk, you know what I'm saying? She would have to steal some money from her parents, you know what I'm saying? Because that's, like, part of a and that is a subculture here. There is a subculture in Seattle area in Washington State where, you know, brothers might fuck with a white chick. There's more interracial relationships out here probably anywhere per capita in the United States. And it's usually a, you know. But anyway, it's not a unique situation, is what I'm saying. But, you know, when you hear some of these interviews that she gave, she said it. You heard the interview, she laughed about how nobody really knows who she is.
Yeah.
What was that information? You got some information on the NAACP anyway, didn't you, on the president?
Now, okay, so, you know, and this was part of the segment that I wanted to kind of get into black organizations that are not really for black people, you know, but they claim to be. And, you know, one of the things that I kind of, which probably most of you know, a lot of you know, is that, you know, the NAACP was founded in 1909. And they founded that, a bunch of white Jewish people, right after the race riots of 1908, Springfield, Illinois. So 1999, it was formed, and, excuse me, 1909, the NAACP was formed. Not until 1975 was the first black NAACP elected. Okay.
All right, look, hold on. I don't want to cut you off, bro, but because from my understanding, I'm glad you brought up that 1909 founding of the NAACP, because But also, the reason why the NAACP was actually formed was to counter Marcus Garvey's UNIA movement.
True.
So, you know what I'm saying? You think about it, you got, I don't know if there was a brother that was involved in the founding, but we know that Jewish people and white and or white people was involved in the founding of the NAACP. So it was kind of a way to, for these militant nationalists, you know what I'm saying, black people, Africans in America and the diaspora, coming up, they kind of put a stop shoe on that. You know, mm-hmm. kind of, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? Kind
oh, yeah, straight infiltration.
Infiltration.
You know what I'm saying?
They go, and that's another thing about the racial goals, you know what I'm saying? And this is why I say I don't have a problem. I'll go Malcolm X. I don't have a problem if white people are about justice. I think that's cool. You know what I'm saying? There's always been that element throughout history. John Brown.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So that's cool. But when you have a situation where they infiltrate black organizations, it compromises the organization. So, like, if they wanted to form their own organizations and fight for justice, and then we have our own, and then we could even collab on big movements, that's all good. Because it's going to be more effective if they have their own organizations of people that feel like they feel, and then they can neutralize some
right.
of the hostility and some of the, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
People will listen, other white people will listen to them more objectively than us because we're coming from a subjective point of view. We're coming from a
right.
point of view that we went through this.
Right.
And then when they come in our groups, you know, it makes black people uncomfortable. We don't feel like we can express ourselves when they're in our groups. And then they always want to take over and lead our groups.
Right.
Rachel,
right.
those all did.
And the NAACP all the way up until 1975. But I can't really call the NAACP our group because, like I said, it was founded by a Jewish lawyer from Boston. I don't have the name. And then, like I said, through 1909 until 1975, there was the first black president of the NAACP, 1975. So in his term was from 1976 to 1982. William Matagu Cobb was his name. And the thing about it is you'll never see black people head of a Jewish organization.
I was going to say that. Yeah.
You'll never see that. You'll never see that. But yet in all of our organizations or our prominent organizations like the Urban League, you know, which, you know, that's another organization. There was a brother in there. And then the main lady who founded it was Miss Ruth Stadish Baldwin. And she was a, you know, a rich white woman, a Jew, who helped found this organization. You know, and it's like, again, it's like you'll never see us in their organizations, you know, except for, you know, being a pawn and whatnot. So, you know, that's just something that kind of changed.
Right, right. I mean, you know, the underground's the underground. You know what I'm saying? Like you're saying, these groups that they will put themselves on leadership, you know what I'm saying? These groups are kind of fugazi.
Patrick Swayze.
Patrick, you know what I mean? They're clones. They're those olives. You know what I'm saying? It is what it is. I mean, so like I said, I mean, I don't really take the NAACP seriously, but they are like one of the biggest prominent groups. So it does represent something to some people because some people don't understand. Like you were telling me about, you know, a conversation that you had with your family years ago, and, you know, some of the elders, a lot of us don't know because, you know, you have to understand now we're in the internet age. Now we can click, clack, and we can get any information that we couldn't get before. We would have to actually do the research. We'd have to actually travel. We'd have to actually
right.
go to the library. There'd be tons of books if that book was there. And if it wasn't, then we have to travel somewhere else that book was. Now we can just internet it. So it wasn't as known who founded the NAACP back then.
And let me just do a little shout out on that note. If with what just has been said about the internet and the information age, if you don't know what you're talking about, go up on the internet. It's right there. Do your research. It's so much easier. So there's no excuse for people falsifying documents.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? There's no reason.
Yeah, and yeah, that's how it goes. And anytime somebody's trying to teach you something or bring something new to you, you don't have to just take it for what it is.
Right.
If I'm saying something, Don't just believe it. You know what I'm saying?
Google.
Check it out. And if I'm wrong, correct me. You know what I'm saying? One thing that I don't do is I don't, you know, hate somebody for correcting me. I'm not going to be mad at somebody for correcting me because I want to be corrected. You know what I'm saying? And also another thing is, you know, as far as disagreeing, if we don't agree on things, we don't have to agree on everything. If our main objective is the same, let's just do it like that. So let's do it like this. Let's get into another clip. Matter of fact, let's get into a clip. And then on the other side of this clip, then we're going to go into the Hebrew Israelites. Matter of fact, we're not going to play a clip. I'm going to play a clip that I played last week on Malcolm X, Martin Luther King, and Marcus Garvey on Black Anonymous. But I do think that we need to pump that. And then on the other side of this break, what we're going to do is we're going to get into a little bit more on these Hebrew, bitch-made, government-made symbols. You know what I'm saying? And I hit them up. You know what I'm saying? Matter of fact, I'll say this on that. Okay. But then we're also going to get into the President Obama's eulogy a little bit. We're going to get into the homosexual agenda and the state of hip-hop in general. But, you know, check out this clip and just remember to try to spin with us. It's time to network. It's time to build this community. If we don't see the need for this right now, you know what I'm saying, of us unifying, you know what I'm saying, we got these people trying to kill us. You know what I'm saying? If we don't understand that, well, we have to, you know, I mean, in this internet world, you can do a lot of quote-unquote revolution, or as Red Pill said, revolution, just by clicking. All you got to do is click, hit a button, click, follow Black Dot Stand Radio, and join the movement, click. Click. Oh, this
is not easy.
You know, it's that easy. You know what I'm saying? We're not saying click, clack with your ratchets. You know what I'm saying? I'm not telling you to do that right now. I'm saying click. I'm saying go to a black-owned business, click. If you need something and you know that there's black people that can give it to you or that can sell it to you, try that first. But anyway, this is Malcolm X, MLK, and the great Mosiah, Marcus Garvey on Black Anonymous.
Mad the Negro collective is richer than most nations of the world. We have an annual income of more than $30 billion a year, which is more than all of the exports of the United States and more than the national budget of Canada. Did you know that? That's power right there if we know how to prove.
We should own and operate and control the economy of our community. We have to become involved in a program of re-education to educate our people into the importance of knowing that when you spend your dollar out of the community in which you live, the community in which you spend your money becomes richer and richer. The community out of which you take your money becomes poorer and poorer. And because these Negroes who have been misled, misguided, are breaking their necks to take their money and spend it with the man is becoming richer and richer, and you're becoming poorer and poorer. And then what happens? The community in which you live becomes a slum. It becomes a ghetto. The conditions become run down. And then you have the audacity to complain about poor housing in a run-down community. Why, you run it down yourself when you take it out.
We've got to strengthen black institutions. I call upon you to take your money out of the bank downtown and deposit your money in Tri-State Bank. We are telling you to follow what we are doing. Put your money there. You have six or seven black insurance companies here. Take out your insurance there. Now, these are some practical things that we can do. We begin the process of building a great economic base. We've got to give ourselves to this struggle until the end. We've got to see it through.
So our people not only have to be re-educated to the importance of supporting black business, but the black man himself has to be made aware of the importance of going into business. And once you and I go into business, we own and operate at least the businesses in our community, what we will be doing is developing a situation wherein we will actually be able to create employment for the people in the community.
Black man must unite in one grand racial hierarchy, making a racial empire upon which the sun shall never set.
Hey, anybody, any one of you mother be a paraplegic.
You need to be a paraplegic, man. If you don't believe in what they're talking about, I told you need to be shot in your head. Then live and be a paraplegic. But that's GMS. So we're gonna get on them in a minute, but Bugs, you had something that you wanted to bring up, the Willie Lynch.
About the, you hear me?
Yeah,
and you could talk about, or you know, it's the Willie Lynch letters, The Making of the Slave, and it just goes back to this Rachel Dozell, you know, how that whole scandal, to me, point of view on it, was basically another divide and conquer tactic, and just read you a little bit of part of this Willie Lynch. Now, this was back in 1712 on the banks of James River, and Willie Lynch was a slave owner in the West Indies, and he was talking to a bunch of slave owners from the South, and one of the things that it says is basically he breaks down all types of stuff, but the divide and conquer, you know, which is still being used to this day. And I'm going to just jump right into a paragraph. It says, don't forget, you must pitch the old black male versus the young black male, and the young black male against the old black male. You must use the dark-skinned slaves versus the light-skinned slaves versus the dark-skinned slaves. You must use the female versus the male, and the male versus the female. Now, we see a lot of that going on right now. You must also have your white servants and overseers distrust all blacks. But it is necessary that your slaves trust and depend on us. They must love, respect, and trust only us. Now, that was just an excerpt from Willie Lynch, the Willie Lynch letters, The Making of a Slave. You guys should go check that out if you haven't. But, you know, you should read that and just kind of see how that applies to what's going on today. Something I want to mention.
That those are some good points right there, and I mean, you can see the Willie Lynch syndrome plaguing the community to this day.
Oh, no doubt.
I mean, if GMS ain't, you know what I'm saying, a prime example.
Oh, yeah.
Of Willie Lynch. I don't know what it is. And I know a lot of people say that the Willie Lynch letter was rigged and it ain't true.
Well, look around you today.
That's what I'm saying. So I don't care if you want to say it's fabricated or not. Are the principles being practiced or not? Is there a lesson to be learned from that or not? Is that not the way they think? Is that not the way they did us in slavery? They do it to this day. We brag, oh, yeah, you work for, you know what I'm saying, like we're on the plantation. That part of the plantation, part of the Willie Lynch thing was like, oh, if they have come from a bigger plantation, pit them against the ones with smaller plantations.
Right,
do we
right.
not do that? Now the plantations are our job.
Right, it's
so
a job.
You work for that little loopy boop. I work for Walmart or
right, right.
Bullshit, AT&T, and
you already know, man. Look at the amount that white people get paid versus a black person gets paid.
Right,
you know what I'm saying? That stuff is still going on. They got statistics out there, and I wish I was able to bring some of those statistics. But look at the unemployment rate.
Right.
You know, look at the unemployment rate, man. It's like twice.
Double.
You know, twice that of a white person. You know what I'm saying? And what's so crazy is Mexicans got a lower unemployment rate than us. You know, that's just a different subject. But, you know, we're at the bottom of the barrel, and that's just the people that are on paper.
Yeah, okay, cool. So let's check that out. Let's check this out. Because that kind of brought up something, and you know, for the record, it's not that we have to qualify and apologize or whatever, but, you know, saying we don't have anything against Mexicans. Matter of fact, I don't have anything against any race, just for the race that they're, just for the skin.
Of course not. Of course not.
You know what I'm saying? We don't practice that, you know what I'm saying? But I do like to learn lessons, though, and I do like to observe and be real about it, you know what I'm saying? So I made a video for my YouTube, and you could just YouTube search Netter Kent or Jay Dizzle. And I made a video where you know a federal way down on Pacific, right? Pacific Highway.
Yep, yep.
Okay, so like around the people that ain't from the town, they ain't gonna know this, but it's about 30 miles outside of Seattle. You know, saying it's not in the major city, but so I was in Federal Way the other day, and I was rolling unpacked. You know, saying coming from a homegirl's house. You know, we put one in the air. You know, kicking it and all that. And so, you know, I'm on the way back, and I just noticed these couple little blocks of straight Asian businesses. So I made a video. I did it. I walked around one whole block, and then I drove up to another one and drove through that one, another one. And these were the kind of businesses that were, like, not the businesses, like, where we're going to go into and whatever. These were, like, hubs for them, all of them, like a whole two blocks of, like, just all their businesses in their language. And it was, like, distribution.
Right. To be more specific of the age, is they're Koreans.
There was Koreans, but there was also Vietnamese, and I'm assuming Chinese.
Right. The demographics of where they set up shop, like if you look at Tacoma, which is south of Federal Way, it's a second largest city, and outside of Tacoma, Lakeside, south of Tacoma, Lakewood. They got a hub down there, and then if you go up north, like Edmonds, they're up there. Edmonds, Linwood area, which is north of Seattle, they're there. So this is they're strategically placed their businesses in certain areas, strategically.
Yeah,
you know they're not just putting their stuff, you know, in you know Eastern Washington or wherever. They're making money off of us, basically, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, and these hubs that I showed, like I was saying, like these aren't what I showed on the video I'm talking about called Nation Building. You know what I'm saying? You can see it on my Facebook. You can see it on my YouTube called Nation Building. And what I was showing wasn't even like there's every block there's a little Korean store, Korean-owned little mini mart. Yeah. There's hotels in certain areas around the airport. There's teriyaki.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Spots all over. But that's not what I showed. What I showed was their little manufacturing hubs, their little wholesale hubs, the distribution hubs, spots where they only fuck with each other for the most part. It's not the ones that they openly advertise. It's like they're a little sanctuary. They're a little whole square block. Mm-hmm. And the reason I emphasize that it's not downtown Seattle is because every major city almost has a Chinatown. I think Seattle probably has one of the biggest Chinatowns in the country.
Yeah.
Probably not
pretty
bigger
good.
Than San Francisco or probably not bigger than New York.
Big enough, yeah.
But it's big enough.
Yeah.
But that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the suburbs. So they're just doing their thing all over, networking.
No. And I also wanted to point out another group of people who haven't even been here that long.
Indians?
Yeah, the East Indians, the Sikhs, you know. These guys basically came here in like the 90s, man. For the most part, you know, there's a few scattered, but they're, you know, they came here in the 90s, man, and they have all type of businesses. All these gas stations you go to is owned by a company called, I think it's like Sing Enterprises or something like
that. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, when you get you go get gas, you get a receipt, it'll say like Sing Enterprises or something like that. And, man, these guys have only been here, 30 years, 20, 30 years.
Right, and I know,
years.
And one of the reasons, you know, saying just to co-sign for you, because I do that for the homie.
Yeah.
But the reason why I know you're correct about that is because years ago I used to have this job where I would sell merchant services, so like credit card scanners and things of that nature, ATMs and things of that nature.
Right.
And so we would have a list of different businesses.
Right.
And when I would look and I would see like, you know, some of the, it's like right down the street, some of the Shell stations and stuff like that. And then they would say like Thing, whatever.
Right.
And you know who's the name of the owner.
Right.
So, you know, fans, and this isn't a hate. This isn't some kind of hate that we hate them
not
for doing
at all.
Thing because they're doing what they're supposed to be doing.
They're doing what we're
supposed to be doing. Matter of fact, that's why they look at us a certain way. Like, man, you guys should have this shit. So why are you guys coming to us? You guys been here. We should be coming to you. It's kind of like that vibe.
Right.
So from that, they look at it as disgust, like a resentment, like, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like, we know that you guys in history, because they know our history. Man,
yeah.
You know what I'm saying? They know that we should really be, we should have like Black Wall Street in every single major city in this country. We should have little spots where we have 2 and 3 blocks
right.
of just our business, where no matter what we need, we can go to us to get it. And then
right.
if there's something that we need that we can't get from us, then okay, we'll go get it from somewhere else. But we have $1 trillion that we generate every year in this country. This wasn't supposed to be a nation building segment, but we just going to go ahead and touch on
everything.
We
got to talk about it.
We got to talk about it. Because, I mean, right now, especially right now, we have $1 trillion. So let's just think about that. $1 trillion that we have at our disposal every year as Black people. If we were to just reroute half of that
mm-hmm.
to ourselves, we would be bubbling tomorrow.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And the $1 trillion that we generate, since we do spend it with them, you know, so we spend it with everybody else, we're basically funding our own oppression.
Right.
Because now they have the money to go to war.
Right.
To go conquer our homeland.
Right.
And other homelands to get resources and sell them back to us. So we're buying diamonds. You know what I'm saying? We got these rich people just flocking with these diamonds that they're overpaying. Somebody else then conquered the diamond-rich soils, then took them to their country to appraise them and,
right.
and overpraise them, and then bring them here and sell them to us for ridiculous prices when we're buying our own stolen shit. And we're paying, and we're paying to do so. And we're paying for these wars. We're paying these cops' salaries to fuck us over. Where if we rebound that money, we wouldn't have the money to do that.
Right.
If we rebound that money, we'd be able to turn all these gangbangers, there's hundreds of thousands, probably millions of gangbangers worldwide or nationwide, that they could be our private security force.
Right.
They could
and,
be protecting our Wall Street.
Right. And the thing about it is you can't, you know, and I'm talking to my people, Black people, you can't go off and get into a Korean business. And what I mean by that is, let's just say, just for example, kimchi. You can't go in and set up shop on, and sell kimchi because they got that market sold. They won't let you in economically. They will not let you in.
Well, even more than that, they're not going to patronize your business. You know that
they're, well, they're not going to patronize your business, but they're also, on the distribution part of it, they're not going to sell you nothing at the Korean discount prices.
Right, right, right.
If anything, they're going to try to bop you over
right.
the head, you know, and sell it to you retail,
right.
you know what I'm saying, instead of wholesale so you can't make your money.
So you won't make no money, so
yeah.
then people are going to go to them. Yeah, you're right.
Plus,
right.
plus, they make sure they own the market share. They own majority of the market share. It's just like me trying to come in like against Nike right now. If I wanted to do some shoes or something like that, you know, the market share that these big giants have, they would crush me. They would crush me. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, I might make a little noise, but they'll be like, "Oh yeah," and they would crush me because of their ability to get the wholesale prices and to get the materials made, you know? So it's just like a lot of these businesses that are owned by, you know, Koreans, Chinese, Sikhs, Ethiopians, you know, all it is, you might see, like in the CD, you know how many Ethiopian restaurants there are? But the thing is they're not in competition with each other. That's how their businesses thrive. They're not in competition with each other because they have so much pride that an Ethiopian is going to go to probably patronize each one of those business unless it's like a personal matter that they just don't like the owner. You know what I'm saying? Korean, same thing. You see a teriyaki spot on every corner. But their people, they have so much they have so much unity and they have so much okay, well, I already know to put my money in my own community that there could be 10 teriyaki spots on the same block, which in some cases there are, and they'll still be open for business. Plus, they're doing business with people like us, Black people. You know?
True that. And one more point I'm going to bring up, that little job I used to have for the merchant services. And when I would go to a teriyaki spot, you know, saying, first of all, they ain't trying to hear it, you know, man. So we might be
hungry.
Cold calling or We might do some cold calling. I set up an appointment and go there, or I might just straight up walk in there. And you know, when it comes to these little teriyaki spots, or particularly this dry cleaning business that I went to, I ended up actually selling the lady on getting her merchant services from us. But she canceled
right.
in 3 days because, of course, somebody, you know, of course her people got out of like, yo,
right.
what you doing? You don't do that.
Right. Right.
Ain't doing business. And she wasn't even doing business with me because really the company that I was working for, that my slave masters were,
right.
were Mormon.
Right.
But that didn't matter to her. What really mattered is the fact that she's not going to not go with her own people who could do the same service that we're trying to do, even if it's
right.
going to cost her more money.
Right.
Because I was able to save her money. That ain't what it's about. They
right.
understand the science of nation building.
Right. It's like this Sikh guy used to be a car salesman back in 98, man. And there's a restaurant downtown Renton. I'm not going to mention the name, but it's owned by some Sikhs. And I was pretty much the guy walked up on the lot just checking out a car. And, you know, he told me he owned a restaurant and that, hey, can you bring it by my restaurant? I want to take a look at it, blah, blah, blah. So I took it down there, and he, you know, he gave me some free food and whatnot. But at the end of the day, he was like, "Yeah, you know, he wasn't gonna buy it off me." He kind of made that a little bit clear, like you know, he was gonna buy it off his own people. You know, he told me that. You know, and he was like, "No offense to you." And what he did was he bought it from Canada, which had a big, at the time, they had a big Sikh community. And they still do,
yeah.
But back in like the late 90s, they had a bigger one than down here. And so he went to Canada and bought a vehicle. And to this day, because he told me that, I respected him. And, I go and patronize his business, you know, every now and then. But, you know, at the end of the day, that's got to stop too, because now we got a whole bunch of black restaurants that we need to start supporting, man.
Well, matter of fact, man, let's do it like this, because, you know what I'm saying, you know how we do. You know what I'm saying? And lately we haven't done as much as we do.
Right.
I mean, I'm pretty sure individually we have, but, you know, we had we do personally, we'd set up a day of the week.
Right.
That we would make sure that we go out and eat
right.
at a black business.
A black business.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And that's, you know what I'm saying, that's something, that's a movement. See, this is why, I know I keep on, you know what I'm saying, pushing Black Hot Stand Radio, and damn it, go to the page and follow the show. We're building a network.
Right.
And here's why. You know what I'm saying? Because, you know what I'm saying, me and Book, what we would do is every at least once a week, what we would do is we would get together, we'd kick it, and we'd be like, okay, let's go to a black-owned restaurant. And we'd roll around, and it might be 10 miles away from where we're at. It don't matter. We went
right.
there, we would eat, we would tip the waitress big.
Right.
We would make sure that we, you know what I'm saying, talk good about the restaurant.
Right.
And that's something that, why we need to build networks. So that way we could be like, yo, get out this weekend, patronize all the black people. You got paid.
Right.
You know,
got your
I
money.
I know sometimes you get a whole, you know, be burning in your pocket because you got a little money.
Right.
Well, man, make sure that you deliberately patronize our businesses.
Right.
Just do it. Like, you know what I'm saying? And we need to be able to make these calls out. We need to be able to, matter of fact, we'll give me this in a minute, but, you know what I'm saying? So if we could do that. And then sometimes, because it's not just enough, just a boycott, even though that is very powerful. That is one of the things that MLK, no matter how you feel about his philosophy on integration, no matter how you feel about his philosophy on nonviolence, you can't front that when it came to organizing and when it came to especially economics, this man was great. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
He organized
right.
a boycott that kept people off the bus for over a year. Now, there was collateral damage in that. We won't get into the North Carolina.
Right.
But what I'm saying
right.
is, at this point, it's not even enough just to say, let's not spend money. But even though we should be doing that, we should be able to make a call out like, yo, check it out. We're not spending on this holiday. You know what I'm saying? We're saving our money. Fuck that.
Right.
We're not going to buy from this business, one of our people, and it
right.
made public news, and now we're going to show that we ain't supporting that.
Right.
And they're going
right.
to have to change some policies. They're going to have to do things that accommodate us. They're going to have to hire more of us, whatever the case is, or we're not fucking with them. And unless we have a network built big enough to be able to actually make an impact on that, then often not. You know
right.
what I'm saying? And, but more importantly than that, we got to actually make ourselves spend money. Because
right.
like, if you don't have vision, you know what I'm saying, then you don't understand, like, oh, how's that really going to... Listen, if we spend with us, who cares if it costs a couple extra bucks, you have to go out of your way a little bit. If we spend with us, we'll have the economic resources pulled together to where when we want to make these, build these schools, we want to build these banks. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
We keep complaining about, oh, yeah, Jay-Z's and Oprah
right.
Winfrey's and all these cats have money. let's break this down. I did this once before. I'm going to do it again. We're going to break down what $1 trillion is, okay, because we have $1 trillion collectively, you know, and as a people. And if you give me the argument that, yeah, but Jay-Z and whatever, all these other big Will Smiths and all this, these people ain't helping us out. We don't need them to help us.
Right.
That's the cold part, because they let's say they have $1 billion. Let's say we have 10 billionaires that are black. I don't even think we have that many.
Right.
But let's say we do, though. To have $1 trillion, what you have to do is you have to take $1,000 and you have to multiply that by 1,000. Then that's $1 million.
Right.
Then you have to take that $1 million and multiply that by 1,000. That's $1 billion.
Right.
Then you have to take that $1 billion, $1 billion, and multiply that by 1,000.
Yeah.
That's $1 trillion. So if you take 10 billion from 1 trillion, that ain't shit. That's not even
right.
A percentage.
Right. And how do you think these guys got that billions of dollars, some of these billionaires and these millionaires? They got it from their own people for the most part. Look at Jordan. You know what I'm saying? How many people walk around with Jordans on, man?
I ain't gonna front, man. I mean,
that's what I'm saying, though.
I got a few.
No, there ain't nothing wrong with that. that you still support your peoples. That there's nothing wrong with that. But
well, I mean, I'm putting it like this, though, yo. Just for the record, Jay Dizzle does not go and wait 3 days and sleep overnight to buy some $300 Jordans. What I do is I go to the damn retail outlet. We got Nike towns in Washington and Oregon, and I'll go there and I'll get them for $60 in the low. And I ain't ashamed to say that, because I never brag about how much I pay. Overpay for some shit. I'll brag about the deal that I got.
And then some of you cats be out there getting them internet Jordans, man. You know what I'm saying? They come in five pieces with glue and directions, man. You guys need to quit fronting, man. But, yeah.
If you got it from Black, then that's cool, though. But the point is this. When we start stimulating money in our own communities, right, we don't have to worry about if they're hiring us or not, because we'll have businesses that will hire us. We don't have to worry about if the police are looking at us a certain way. Because when we get our communities the way we're supposed to, they won't be in our communities, because we'll have our own damn security. And our security will be trained and privatized and militarized to the point to where they can even deal with some cops if they want to come on some bullshit. You feel me? We talk about Black Wall Street. Let's think about Black Wall Street. Maybe we
Black
need to
Wall
do a show
Street.
Later on Black Wall
Street. Oh, yeah, that's a whole different show, man.
But, you know, saying I was looking into that. You know, I love that concept. I love the history of that. Even though there are some things that need to be corrected, that's what we do. We correct it, and then
correct.
We do it again. They didn't have the military to protect themselves, so it got burnt down over a white lie.
Right.
But the cool part is it got built up again, and then segregation is why it, you know, it fell for the second part, because white ice is colder than black ice.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So we didn't keep spending money. So we used to have to spend money. Okay, I think we talked about this around that silverback, silver neck, the Clippers do, man. Silverstein or something.
Oh, Sterling.
Okay. I just went with the first two of them. what was his name?
Donald Sterling.
So Donald Sterling, right?
Donald Sterling.
And remember when that talk came out about, like, that, right after that thing happened, a couple key players and key people, I think Larry Holt or Larry, who's that?
Larry Johnson.
Larry Johnson.
Yeah, Mama.
And some other people came out like, yo, we need to start our own league.
We need to start our own league. Yeah, come on, people. Yeah, I mean,
now,
yeah,
think how powerful that is, but that got dated real quick.
Oh, yeah.
Why you think that is? Because they know. I mean, come on, man. Who's coming to watch basketball to watch top jumpers?
Right. Or Slosevich. You know, hit three-pointers or whatever.
That's not why they come.
No.
Those aren't the ones that bring the crowd and bring the money.
It's Kobe, Jordan,
exactly.
Iverson.
LeBron.
Come on, man.
Wade.
All those guys.
So that got deaded real quick, you know what I'm saying? And when they do stuff like that, we don't really have the time to reflect on what's going on and why that happened and to really think about the power that we have. You know what I'm saying? They didn't even want that idea being put in the minds of people. Because if that happens and we built our own league, we still have 10 teams, we're rocking it. We might not make as much.
Right.
But
right.
We'll have our own shit, because people will come to see us. And
yeah.
There'll be no more NBA. There'll be no NFL. There'll be no Major League Baseball. There might be a little bit of Major League Baseball still, but whatever.
You know, the, these leagues right now, all it is corporate sharecropping. That's
it is.
All
that.
It is.
No doubt.
That's all it is, man.
We need a combine.
You know, and
I'm
these
way.
And you know what? These young cats coming up, man. They to me, man, they know.
They do know, but
up.
Here's the thing. Here's the cold part.
The energy is not directed.
Exactly.
The
okay.
energy
so
is not directed. You
it's
know?
Not direct. Well, it's not direct. It's not guided.
It's not guided. That's a better
See, so that's the point of why we do what we do. You know
right.
what I'm because we have to be able to reach people. See, I'm not on that level right now where I want to try to wake up the dead. And I'm not
right.
Jesus. You're not Lazarus.
Right.
That's not my job. If I can, cool. I want to. But what I'm saying is, like, especially for some of the new booties and some of the new initiatives of the country, they're going to have the frequency to get these people more. But
right.
Those who do know, we have to build these communities. We have to build these networks so there's that outlet. And then we reach these youngsters.
Right.
So that's where it's at right now.
Right.
And these youngsters have to understand. So now when they're balling, they're understanding. And then when we have a network, when we make a call, like, we need our own league. Those
right.
people ones that will be like, you know what, I'm stepping away and I'm going to go. They're going to be the ones that's going to be making this stuff happen.
You already know.
We can't do it if we're not guiding right. And if we ain't clicking together, we ain't showing them proper, you know what I'm saying?
Real quick, some stuff I wanted to touch on that we already kind of touched on. Back to our little program, man, where, like, once a week we go out and support our black restaurants. We patron these guys. You know, to the ones out there listening and that are saying, okay, well, what can we do and what are you guys doing? Well, that's a small step, but it'll become a big step. You know, it's kind of like, you know, I don't know if you guys remember the old school commercials, the Sally Struthers, you know, just 10 cents a day, you know. You know, I mean, you know, just once a week, man, just once a week, make it a point to go out and support a black-owned business. You know, just once a week, just start off by doing that. If cats started doing that, you start seeing your community grow.
It's called momentum.
You know what I'm saying?
That momentum.
Start doing that. You know, everybody with a dollar in their pocket, shoot, man, go buy a soft drink. Afford it. You know, just do something.
Do what you can do. Because, you know, we go out of our way to give other people our money that we can't afford. We buy cars that we can't afford.
Right.
Because we want to look fresh.
Right. Try to keep up with the Joneses.
You know what I'm saying? And that's the thing. It's about momentum. Just do what you can do right now.
Right.
And if you don't have a dollar, then at least help spread the conscience. Follow the show. You know what I'm saying? Share the show. Go to other organizations. But there's 1,000 white hate group organizations operating right now. So we need at least 1,000 of our group. They don't have to be based on hate, and they shouldn't be based on hate.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? But they have to be based on doing what we need to do. You know what I'm saying? So there's plenty of room for plenty of people to join, plenty of organizations and plenty of networks, and it's the momentum. You start doing things, and then that becomes easy, and that becomes, okay, routine. Then, you know, you reinforce the idea that you're supposed to be doing that, and you take it to the next level when you can. But if you have 100 people and you got to build something and everybody can just do a little bit and it's built real quick, rather than just 3 people trying to do all the damn work and everybody else is waiting for it to get built so they can live in there too. That's
right.
Not how we can't do it like that.
Right.
No other nation's done it like that. You know what I'm saying? It doesn't work like that.
Right.
And if we don't understand right now how important it is for us to come together, unify, network, build, do commerce with each other.
You already know. You know, and for those of you that don't know what we're talking about, go out into your communities and see these other race groups and see what they're doing. Just kind of watch what they're doing. Just kind of peep game, you know, and what they're doing. And you'll know what I'm talking about. Peep what these guys are doing. You know what I'm saying? Like, we've been here for, you know, since late 1600s, you know what I'm saying? Like,
I'd say 15.
Okay, but we've been here longer than
right,
Chinese,
right.
The Vietnamese, East
right.
Indians, the East, the Africans.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? We've been here longer than all these cats, Southeast Asians, all that. We've been here longer than these cats. not to say that when we did try to build some, there was resistance that these other groups didn't have. But that's just something, you know.
That's just something that we have to strategize and deal with. Right?
Exactly.
You know, we can't call ourselves the gods of the earth and the kings and the smartest this and that, and then say that we can't just be people like that.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? There are measures that have to be taken. You know what I'm saying? Obviously, we can't do what didn't work. So we have to take what we have done in the past, measure what went wrong, correct those mistakes, and do it again.
And that's why it's so important to read your history and to study your history, because the thing that a lot of people don't really realize is, you know, if you don't correct things that were made in the past, that history is going to repeat itself.
You okay, know, cool. Let's transition like this. I'm going to mix this up.
No, it's all good.
But since we're going to talk about mistakes of the past, I don't want to let these suckers off the hook, man, because we're sitting here, you know, still building, but I don't want to, we can't let GMS off the hook, because that is one of the mistakes in the past that we have to correct, you know what I mean? Like if we would have killed more house niggas back in the day, then we would be a lot further off, you know what I'm saying? And when you have people that are praising our people getting killed, they need to be put on black. And here's one more example of why these bastards need to be put on black. Black Eye Stand Radio, make sure you follow the show. Give a call in, give your point of view. If you want to disagree, that's cool. Do it respectfully, and we can go back and forth, and we can see what measures out the way. You know what I'm saying? But here's these little Hebrew, it's like, you know what I'm saying, the government-made Sambo.
Guess what? When I hear about you crashes and people getting shot down, man, I rejoice. When I hear about you niggas getting shot down, I rejoice, man.
Right.
You gave up the Lord? You said the hell with the Lord? I said, the hell with you too, damn it.
Man.
None evil shall come upon us. No bad evil. Eve is time. Ill is bad. Eve is bad. Ill is
time.
Eve is time, right. And ill is bad.
Yeah.
Well, you had a bad time the other day, man. Hey, I wish it was more motherfuckers that got killed. Why don't they just come in on a Sunday morning at like 12 o'clock in the afternoon when the whole church is filled up?
Yeah.
While you all shouting and singing. You know what? That's my next prayer. For another gunman to go into one of them churches at 12 noon and kill up all you goddamn motherfuckers.
That's right.
It says, yet they will lean upon the Lord and say, is not the Lord among us? Hey, those people in them churches say the Lord is among us, right? So if the Lord was among you, how the hell he allow a gunman to walk in there and shoot your shit up?
Right.
I thought the Lord was with you.
Right,
I thought
right,
the
right.
Lord had angels watching over you. Obviously he doesn't. The Lord don't give a fuck about you goddamn niggas that stick in them damn churches. Man, go ahead, man.
None evil can come upon us.
No bad time can come. That was a bad time, yes, the other day. Fuck good times, JJ and all that shit. That was some bad times that came to that church. Hey, the spirit of Caesar Borgia came into that church. Hey, Caesar Borgia was a murderer. He was a murderer. Guess what? What happened to that church? Murder! You want to pray to Caesar Borgia? Go ahead. Keep on praying to that motherfucker. That's why, what is it, 9 niggas got killed?
Yeah.
That's beautiful, man.
Yeah.
That's beautiful, man. Yeah.
I mean, that's, you know, that's, you know what I mean? That's the coonery that we do have to get rid of. You know what I'm saying? The only reason, this ain't about infighting. This is about what really has to be done, because, like, we can't really actually, if the process is coming for us to be where we're supposed to be, right, for us to have our independent, equality, liberation, land, and all that, if that time is coming, part of that process is we have to get rid of. You know what I'm saying? Because we can't be. I mean, are you serious? We're gonna reproduce with people like that. You know what I'm saying? Like, it can't happen. You know what I'm saying? These guys, if these guys ain't government, then their coonery alone should cost them their life. Because, I mean, if you think about it, they're not really trying to gain their membership. They're not trying to get their membership up. You know what I'm saying? So what is their real purpose? They're not trying to like build. And add on and say, you know, because we feel this way and we have to do this and that, we need to get people together, because they wouldn't take this route if that's what they're trying to do. So what is their purpose? Who put them up to what they're doing? And for the record, you know, saying, GMS Seattle, you know what I'm saying, got punched in the face. They got punched in the face and ran out. And, I mean, I don't give a fuck. I went looking for these cats for 2 weekends in Tacoma because they went to Tacoma when they got, you know what I'm saying, kicked out of Seattle. I went out there. And I don't care if you're agent or not. That might give you a little bit of protection. But if I see y'all, I'm taking off. And that's all there is to it. You know what I'm saying? You say something slick, I'll set you up to say something slick. So I'm taking off on you. You know what I'm saying? I've been to jail before. You know what I'm saying? I've been to prison. Nothing to brag about, but I've been there. And I've been to jail for some stupid shit that I should have been there for. So I would not have a problem doing time because I didn't stop one of these coons in their mouth. So I'm just saying that. So don't get it twisted. You know what I'm saying? But anyway, Black Eye Stand Radio. Speaking of homosexuals, man, now these GMS dudes could get married. How you feel about that, man? I mean, they could actually get married with something.
You know, man, this is a scary time, man. You know what I'm saying? You know, if I'm pretty sure most of us grew up in the church. We know about, you know, the Bible and Sodom and Gomorrah, you know, the story of Sodom and Gomorrah. And, you know, nowadays, man, it just seems like it's everywhere. And you know what I'm saying? You know, you tell the evil spirits are out there, man, because it's pretty much in your face. It's to the point where you can't object to it.
Right.
You watch TV. Kids watch TV, it's right there.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And then the kids, man, they're destroying the babies, man, by having two mothers. One's a dude, supposedly. One's a dude, and then one's the mother. What kind of confusion does that relay upon the kids? And what's going to be the results of these kids growing up and seeing that? You know, that's what bothers me the most. And the other thing is, like I said again, man, these people, they're not trying to, you know, centralize. They're trying to centralize this whole gay thing to where every corner you turn, man, you don't see nothing but homosexuality, you know, with commercials and TV shows.
Man, fuck that. They got their own spot, man.
Yeah, man.
So they got their own block.
And then they try to snug up. They try to snug up and act like they was the new black people and they went through the same struggles. Like, no, you didn't. There ain't no choice in being black. You know what I'm saying? There's no choice.
But,
you know, don't try to snuggle up on our struggle.
Well, it's basically a way for them to usurp, you know what I'm saying, the efforts that our ancestors put up and died for and gave, you know, dedicated their lives for. You know what I mean? But, at this point, most people do understand that, you know, I don't even know if most, but a lot of us do understand that this is actually an agenda. And I'm saying this agenda, and this isn't like one of those, you know, you can't call this, you know, it's controversial, but you can't call it conspiracy. You know what I'm saying? This isn't like some, I think, this is the agenda. No, this is actual agenda. This didn't, like, this homosexual movement didn't, like, grow organically from the grassroots.
Right.
It came from the top down.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Example, and check me out on this. Paris, a few years ago, Sarkozy, the president, approached the French people, said that he wants to make, you know, saying same-sex marriages legal in France. They came together against him by the multitudes of at least 1 or 2 million gathered in Paris to oppose what he was trying to bring. So this wasn't the people saying it, this was him saying it. So he had to step back for a minute, you know what I'm saying, go to the drawing board, probably called up, you know what I'm saying, the United States, and like, oh, how you guys do this? Okay, you get the media involved.
Right.
Then, so then like a year later, all of a sudden now it's cool. Now they passed the law, you know what I'm saying? And the same thing is happening here. This wasn't like, you didn't hear about grassroots movements because gay people were being shot down in the streets and not hired and not treated well.
Right.
That's bullshit. It doesn't, you know what I'm saying? So. I mean, this is definitely agenda. When you have African nations being offered millions of dollars of aid or threatened to have it cut off, you know what I'm saying, to comply with gay marriages, which is not an African culture.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? It's just not.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So some of these Hebrews, like GMS, I'm sure, would say something like, oh, but there were gays in ancient in Egypt and other parts of Africa, probably.
Yeah, you know, still abomination.
Probably, but it wasn't like this is part of our culture. Like, those cats would have been, like, Like, if you're really like, I've seen, like, cats that will come with this tribe in Africa that they're gay, and they think, what was the name of this tribe? What else do you know about this tribe besides that? You know what I'm saying? Were you just looking for gay tribes in Africa? That's kind of crazy. Why you're looking for that? You know what I'm saying? Like, is there anything that they contributed? You know what I'm saying? Is there any legacy that would show that this was so Norman back that they, you know what I'm saying, had the backing of the people, or did they just pick the, you know what I'm saying, were they like an exception to the rule?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So that's how our people is about it. So that's kind of why it's crazy that these churches are so quiet about it. You know what I'm saying? But they have to be. But, you know what I'm saying? So this is definitely, and it's a eugenics agenda. You know what I'm saying? It's an agenda to neutralize revolutionaries.
They don't want people populating.
They don't want people populating.
You know, it's backwards, man. And you know, a lot of these.
Well, I think they want to populate. I think they want to catch up.
Right.
Because they're basically depopulating themselves, and part of it is because they've always had this in their you know, saying DNA.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? I don't know if it was like most white people are gay, but I'll say like the leaders.
Right.
When you go back from Alexander to Augustus to,
right, so you're all,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
To Ptolemy to Bush to, oh, we didn't go too far. King James, let's work our way up steadily. You know what I'm saying? King James and all these guys, they were homosexuals, man. Presidents early on, they were homosexual or bisexual.
Right.
You don't see that in our culture. You know what I'm saying? So we don't have to accept that, for one. But it's almost impossible to avoid at this point. So
right.
Bridge it with nation building again. Let's bridge it with the hip-hop agenda again, because, man. Okay, so if they're going to teach, I've seen this little video on, it was showing how they're going to implement these, I don't know what they call them, gender association or basically homosexual teaching.
Yeah.
In elementary, and you can't take your kids out of school, is what they say. You can't take them out. Because if school just hit, then believe me, I'm not letting my kids go and watch that shit.
There's a story, man, about this girl, or I think, okay, no, she was a boy. It was a boy.
Jenner?
And she changed her basically.
You're talking about Caitlyn Jenner, man.
No. Well, that's just one of many stories. But this is one that really bothered me, because, you know, when you start talking about the babies, man, that kind of bothers me, man. The boy basically thought of himself as a girl, and he went to this elementary school. I forgot the details of the story, but basically, overall, was in elementary school and was using the girl's bathroom. So imagine if this boy who thinks he's a girl, right, is, and your daughter's in that bathroom. You know what I'm saying? And here's this boy coming in to the bathroom. You know what I'm saying? I mean, this is sickening, people. This is an epidemic, man.
Yeah.
You know, don't just turn a blind eye to this, man. This is... Cats got to wake up, man, and see what's really... Turn off the TV, man.
I look at it like this, man. I mean, you know, we could polarize it, and we can judge and this and that, but it's just not our culture, and that's just what it is. It is what it is. It is their culture. So in a way, I don't even look at it like it's bad on their part as far as how they live and how they do things. I just put it as, chalk it up, that that's just, you know what I'm saying, a part of their culture, you know what I'm saying? Because, I mean... You know, I know I've witnessed with myself seeing how, you know what I'm saying, some white people interact. And even if they're not gay, you know what I'm saying, they'll go gayer than we'll ever go. They'll do things that's like, you know what I mean, like, oh, he feels sweet, let's put our balls on his chin and take a picture
Violation.
And put some whipped cream on his face,
yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
Violation.
And that's just some shit that they'll do, and they might not even be homosexual. Like, we would never do that. You know what I'm saying? So our culture doesn't. We just don't do that. That's why we're populist. So what I'm saying is, we need them in order to do that. We better start nation building, and we better recognize hip hop. What's up with hip hop?
Ah, man, you know, that's just a corporate strategy, man. Right now, man, to separate. You know what I'm saying? The type of music they're playing. all types of stuff, man. There's been this little rumor going around in hip hop or on the internet about some alleged story about something that happened in the 1990s where these artists were approached by these record execs / prison complex people,
right,
about how if they make certain type of music dealing with, you know, cars, clothes, money and hoes, talking about any conscious stuff, that they could buy stocks in this prison.
You think Lil Wayne got some of that stock right now?
I don't know, man. I want to see the letter. I want to see more proof.
And you know damn well he got some stock in that shit. And
yeah, sad to say. I mean, I don't really know.
I don't know, but
it's funny how it happened. Right around the balance of hip hop started to decay. The mid 90s, you know what I'm saying? Because in the 1990s, right, early 90s, you had conscious rap, you had gangster rap, you know what I'm saying? You had a balance. You had a balance.
But
there's nothing wrong with this other hip hop, but when that's all you have,
it becomes a problem.
Brought back.
It becomes a problem when you hinder your expression, you know what I'm saying, because of money or because of agenda, because then what you're doing in essence is selling your soul, because your expression when it comes to art is you're expressing your soul, your heart. That's what it's saying. Like, imagine if the Icy Brothers or Curtis Mayfield couldn't say what they wanted to say. Marvin Gaye couldn't say what he wanted to say because he had to worry about, you know what I'm saying, what some record exec that doesn't understand our culture, that doesn't understand soul like we understand it, was telling him.
We wouldn't be talking about these people today.
We wouldn't be talking about them right now.
Because they would be a one-hit wonder, one-album wonder, and it's
and
on to
the
next one.
And then the power of art and to influence cultures and peoples and nations, like right now, where would we be? Matter of fact, you know what? You can just go to the show, Hip Hop, Rap Game and Counterintelligence Program. And I got a clip on there where you'll hear Professor James Small talking to Irritated Genie, telling you about a conversation he had with Tupac before he died, a couple of days before he died, you know, saying how he was going to, him and Biggie and some other people, he didn't mention other people by name, but, you know, I know who these people are, only because I read this interview years ago and Scarface was talking about it before all that happened. But, you know, saying they're going to take their money and pull it together and they're going to start a distribution business so that all the music will be distributed by us. And he even said in this interview, or Tupac said this to Professor James Small, you know what I'm saying, that they're going to use that money to basically nation build. They're going to use it to build institutions, education institutions, to build businesses, basically the nation build. And if you knew Pac, you know that he's a Black Panther. Not his mom was a Black Panther. He was a Black Panther. You know what I'm saying? He was a chairman of the New African Black Panthers when he was 17 years old. I got a clip of him giving speeches. You need to check that out. Go to the archived episodes and check out that. It was the first episode.
Yeah.
President Obama, man.
You know. Being him, man. You know. I mean, he's starting to come out of his shell, you know, starting to recognize.
Well, I mean, that's, you know.
But this like, it's a little bit too late, man. He, you know, he's been in here for two terms, and he knows he's on his way out the door. So now he wants to make men.
He's trying to stand Black a little bit.
Yeah, but you know, I don't know. I don't got too much to say.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, you know, I look at the good and everything, but I don't really do much Obama. But I'll just say like this, though. There are some things that he did that on the under are very helpful, like that Nipsey thing, you know, I do social work and mentor and stuff. And
right.
With a nonprofit here in town, you know, Black School nonprofit and TCU culture and all that kind of stuff. You know.
Yeah.
But, so you know, saying being in tune with the kind of the social work and network and industry, if you want to call it that, he did do an initiative. He did do an initiative. I forgot what it was called. concerning like a month or two ago, you know, saying that it's basically opening up channels for, you know, saying little community building, you know, saying community organizations, grassroots, you know, saying like the place that I work with, like the organization or the nonprofit that I'm trying to form right now.
Right.
You know, saying so it does get back to some more funding. And, you know, you go up to the field 50313 or whatever, or 50313 and say, you know, well, you can't really go to the math, but I'm going to say like this, how it works. You get a contract for $200,000, and you take a grant from the government, and it says, well, the focus of this grant money is to improve the graduation rate of inner city youth.
Right.
However you accomplish that is how you accomplish it.
Right.
So if I want to teach them RBG principles and then tutor them to get that, if the numbers say that they're graduating for, I have to compromise how what I believe and what my mission is.
Yeah,
I might not be able to go on a, you know, saying, and then there's other ways to be that. So there are some things that he's doing.
Yeah, of course.
But you know, man, that's another thing that the nation does. We didn't put them in up. We put them in with the vote, but we didn't make the mess. Kind of like Claude said.
Right. Dr. Claude Anderson.
Yeah. Yeah, like he said, like we didn't put up, we get our money right. And we, as a block, come together,
right.
And then we tell them what we make demands on the politicians, especially it's going to be more effective on the local level.
Right.
It's going to be more effective when you're talking about city councils, when you're talking about mayors,
right.
Governors, county councils, parish councils, whatever you call them, do that. But then that's when it's going to really be effective. So, you know.
Yeah. That's what's up, man.
We're still last 45 minutes. We probably got to wind this down. Before we do that, though, I do want to sing this song by Saul Williams called Coded Language. Because, you know, this is the song that is pretty bad. No, Saul Williams, check it out. It's called Coded Language.
Whereas breakbeats have been the missing link connecting the diaspora community to its drum-woven past. Whereas the quantized drum has allowed the whirling mathematicians to calculate the ever-changing distance between rock and stardom. Whereas the velocity of spinning vinyl cross-faded, spun backwards and re-released at the same given moment of recorded history, yet at a different moment in time's continuum, has allowed history to catch up with the present, we do hereby declare reality unkept by the changing standards of dialogue. Statements such as, keep it real, especially when punctuating or anticipating modes of ultra-violence inflicted psychologically or physically, or depicting an unchanging rule of events will henceforth be seen as retroactive and not representative of the individually determined is. Furthermore, as determined by the collective consciousness of this state of being and the lessened distance between thought patterns and their secular manifestations, the role of men as listening receptacles is to be increased by a number no less than 70% of the current enlisted as vocal aggressors. Motherfuckers better realize, now is the time to self-actualize. We have found evidence that hip-hop standard 85 RPM when increased by a number of at least half the rate of its standard or decreased to 3/4 of its speed may be a determining factor in heightening consciousness. Studies show that when a given norm is changed in the face of the unchanging, the remaining contradictions will parallel the truth. Equate rhyme with reason, sun with season. Relationship to phenomenon has encouraged scholars to erase the symptoms of periods.
All right, that was Saul Williams, Coded Language. This is Black Eye Stand Radio, about to close this down. But, you know, we appreciate you listening. Make sure you follow the show, you know what I'm saying? That way you can get updates when new shows are coming out, you know what I'm saying? You can get on the Facebook, send me on Facebook from the show's page, from the Block Talk page, Black Eye Stand, you know what I'm saying? You can follow on Twitter. You know what I'm saying? Also, like I said, got some product lines that's about to be coming out. You know what I'm saying? The candles, the T-shirts. I already have a T-shirt campaign on Facebook that will be going for another couple of days. If you have anything, if anybody's listening out there that has any products or services that they want to promote on the show, you know what I'm saying? You have some jewels, some knowledge you want to drop on the show, make sure you hit me up. It's Jay Dizzle, signing out. The Boogie D Beat, Jay Dizzle, the organization. Like I said, there you go.